Welcome to Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with your host, psychologist Parthenia Izard. Parthenia is a psychologist and certified natural health care practitioner who will show you alternative paths toward health with a holistic approach. Call with your questions or comments at 610-664-4100. Now here's the host of Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom, psychologist Parthenia Izard.
Good morning to those of you listening to our live broadcast or live internet simulcast today, April 14, 2007. And hello to those of you listening to a rebroadcast tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Wednesday, April 18 at 7 p.m., or Thursday, April 19 at 6 p.m. on the Internet. A link for that is on my site. And those rebroadcasts are also rebroadcast 12 hours later. You are listening to Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with me, psychologist Parthenia Izard, at WWDB 860 on the AM dial and simulcast on the international internet station Voice America Radio's 7th Wave Network. To call into the program, call 866-909-9855. Locals can call 610-664-4100. You can send emails during the show to wellnessradio@amtherapies.com. On this program, we discuss alternative medicine therapies, related products and issues, and we do it with the experts. Only try the therapies shared here after consulting with your physician. Last Saturday, our guest was Shoshana Katzman, author of Qigong for Staying Young with Special Guidance for Women. And at that show's end, we discussed the herb Dhamayana and the asana Matsyasana. Yes, that's easy for you to say. If you missed that show, you can go to my website at www.amtherapies.com, click on the radio show link, scroll down to the show you want, and click the button under it to listen to the show. For appointments, call me, call my secretary at 610-687-6184. For general information, 610-660-7710. My guest today is Mike Cook. Yes, we had him on in February, and he's the author of Thrive, Standing on Your Own Two Feet in a Borderless World, and a Holistic Approach to the Workplace. Today we're going to focus on balancing work and life or living. At the end of the program, we will discuss the herb dandelion and the asana breathing meditation Ujjayi. Now it's time for our wellness news. Alternative health news online. Presented, prostate and heart appear favorably influenced by pomegranate juice. American men have heard of the pomegranate, and fewer still have eaten this curious-looking fruit loaded with red seeds. But new scientific findings suggest that pomegranates may one day find a place in healthful diets, reports the April 2007 issue of Harvard Men's Health Watch. Two recent studies suggest that pomegranate juice may help fight prostate cancer. In one study, scientists grew cells from highly aggressive cases of human prostate cancer in tissue cultures. Pomegranate fruit extracts slowed the growth of the cultured cancer cells and promoted cell death. The researchers then implanted the cancer cells in mice. A group of mice that received water laced with pomegranate juice developed significantly smaller tumors than the untreated animals. In a preliminary study of men with prostate cancer, pomegranate juice lengthened patients' PSA doubling time. The longer the doubling time, the slower the tumor is growing, from 15 months before treatment to 54 months on the juice. Preliminary results in test tubes, animals, and humans suggest that pomegranates may also have beneficial effects on cardiovascular disease. Studies show that pomegranate juice can protect LDL, or bad cholesterol, from oxidative damage. The juice has also been shown to slow the progression of plaques in mice with atherosclerosis. Results from two small clinical studies are even more intriguing, showing that carotid artery thickness decreased and cardiac blood flow improved in pomegranate juice drinkers. However, preliminary research also suggests that pomegranate juice may interact with certain medications, much like grapefruit juice does. The bottom line, early studies raise hopes that pomegranates may have potential benefits for prostate cancer and heart disease, but more research is needed to determine whether these hopes are justified. All right, Mike Cook. He's a recognized expert and innovator in organizational and workplace Development, and the author of Thrive, Standing on Your Own Two Feet in a Borderless World. Cook is founding partner of Vital Work, Inc., a corporate consulting firm based in upstate New York. Vital Work specializes in helping clients create and sustain cultures that foster employee engagement, welcome dynamic leaders, and promote shared values. Mike's clients include local organizations and Fortune 500 companies that span every sector, from nonprofit, healthcare, and telecommunications to financial services, pharmaceuticals, and manufacturing. Cook is a frequently requested speaker and seminar leader at conferences throughout North America. He is known for his original and expansive views on the personal and organizational implications of globalization and the outsourced economy, and he presents audiences with a menu of challenges to conventional thought and a vision of possibility for staying competitive and resilient in our rapidly changing business landscape. Prior to founding Vital Work, Cook served as president of Douglas Oil and Gas in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania for 5 years. Under his direction, Douglas became one of the most successful exploration companies in the Appalachian Basin. Cook's career began at Standard Oil of California, where he worked in human resources management and focused on affirmative action implementation. In 1974, he was responsible for bringing the first women employees into the company's refineries as operators and mechanics. His work in this area was recognized as a breakthrough in the corporation's practices, and as a result, it brought many other corporate locations to him to seek his counsel and adopt his methods. Cook holds a B.S. in social science and a master's degree in industrial relations, both from Michigan State University. A quote of his, "While I can state for a fact that there is much more individual freedom in the outsourced economy, there is also more responsibility, and the instruction manual is very thin." Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Fine, thank you. It's wonderful to have you back so soon.
Well, it is great to have you back, too.
And so now we're going to try our best to add or, you know, give to the audience a lot of what we didn't have time to give to them last time.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, yeah, that was February that you were here, February 10th, I believe.
Yeah.
And I recall you were from Pennsylvania, correct?
Actually, no. My children live in Pennsylvania. In fact, my son, who's a doctor, and his wife, who's a doctor, just moved to the Philadelphia area.
Oh, okay. But you live there periodically while you were working?
Oh, yes. I lived in Pittsburgh for 10 years.
Okay, because I know we talked about Nemacolin. I remember that.
Yeah, I'm not sure that people from Philadelphia consider Pittsburgh part of Pennsylvania.
Oh, really? Well, that's not fair. But while I'm talking about Nemacolin, because I did get to go during the spring break, and I just was floored. It was just so wonderful. I know it was some time ago, but what is your fondest recollection of the resort?
Well, I suppose the overall setting.
Oh, yes.
It's such a lovely area, and it's such a great area to just get out and walk. If you enjoy walking, which I do, I'm not a runner, I'm a walker. And when I get out, I like to be able to take my time, and I think the surroundings there just lend themselves to a very peaceful, meditative walk.
Most definitely. Very good. Okay. This time, I'd like to share a quote about your book from Deanne. Is that how she pronounces her name?
Mm-hmm.
Deanne Bevan. She's an acupuncturist and doctor of Chinese medicine, and she said,
yes.
"During a period of heavy awakening for American workers, Mike transforms the concept of a global economy with depth and humor and makes it a very personal journey for the reader. He shows us a way through to a new possibility." So bringing that in, could you sort of give us your concept of the global economy and then follow it up with that new possibility?
Well, the global economy, first of all, is a very real thing, and unfortunately not a very visible thing to many of us, because, you know, it's pretty hard to keep tabs on things on the other side of the planet on a day-to-day basis. But I do think that as we move forward at this particular point in history, that it's imperative that people become more conscious of the rest of the world, no matter where they live and no matter what they do. And that consciousness, I think, begins by establishing a very real self-interest from the standpoint of it's not just good to know about the world economy, it's in your best interest to know about the world economy. And that means really beginning to keep up on the news, to be able to find a news source that you can rely on, like a BBC or a CNN. That'll give you perspectives from outside the United States, because unfortunately our information here is heavily filtered by our news media in terms of, you know, an American perspective on things. And it's just very, very important to understand that as much as we are citizens of this country, we are now actually citizens of the planet. And the Internet has made that so, because of the fact that we don't even have to travel any longer to visit other parts of the world. It's just simply a matter of getting online, as people say, sitting down at your computer, and you can be any place on the planet in the blink of an eye.
And we have to compete with people all over the world for jobs.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, this is a difficult concept to hold on to, because that competition is invisible until it actually happens.
Right.
Until you receive notification that your firm is going to be outsourcing part of its work.
Well, you're listening to Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with me, psychologist Parthenia Izzard. The program is sponsored by Alternative Medicine Therapies in Ballykinwood, Pennsylvania. Visit my website, www.amtherapies.com. Call 687-6184. Listen to us on the Internet. Link at my site. Continuing my report on Amy Cullen, they have lodging to accommodate a range of interests from Lynx to Falling Rock. I'll explain later. We'll be back with Mike Cook, author of Thrive, Standing on Your Own Two Feet, in a Borderless World, an holistic approach to the workplace, balancing work and life. Call 866-909-9855 with your questions.
Why should you passively exist with backaches, allergies, PMS, colds, flu, and other ailments? It's time to take charge of your life with preventive measures. Contact Alternative Medicine Therapies at 610-660-7710 for an initial consultation. Alternative Medicine Therapies offers a holistic approach to preventive care, unlike conventional medicine that tries to correct the illness that exists instead of preventing it altogether. Don't let anyone tell you that your situation is hopeless. Alternative Medicine Therapies like iridology, kinesiology, reflexology, energy medicine, which includes Qi Light therapy, acupressure, and psychological consultations, has an amazing track record of positive results. Why suffer when Alternative Medicine Therapies with psychologist Parthenia Izzard is here to help? Contact Alternative Medicine Therapies today for an initial consultation at 610-660-7710 and visit their website at www.amtherapies.com. And don't miss Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom, psychologist Parthenia Izzard's radio program each Saturday morning at 9 on AM 860 WWDB.
Don't passively exist with backaches, allergies, PMS, colds, flu, and other ailments. Listen to me, Parthenia Izzard, at my new time, Saturday mornings at 9 for Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom. I am a local natural health care practitioner and psychologist. I will show you alternative paths toward health with an holistic approach. Don't miss Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with me, Parthenia Izzard, at my new time, Saturday mornings at 9, only on AM 860 WWDB. You are listening to Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with me, psychologist Parthenia Izzard. I'm offering online psychosocial coaching now. Remember, you can listen to the show on the Internet. Go to my site for the link. Now, the links that I referred to earlier, that's lodging at Nemacolin, that is a series of beautiful townhouses. And Falling Rock is on the other end of the spectrum with 24-hour butler service. What more can you ask for? Okay, that's Nemacolin. Okay, now, as promised last weekend, the Alt-Med trivia item question is, what herb is also known as knit bone? The winner will get a comprehensive initial visit for $25, and then we have follow-up gifts of those others who might be second or third callers. Today, we're talking with Mike Cook, author of Thrive, Standing on Your Own Two Feet in a Borderless World, an holistic approach to the workplace. And we're focusing on balancing work and life or living. If you have questions, call 866-909-9855 or send us an email at wellnessradio@amtherapies.com. Okay, thanks. All right. You want to continue where we left off now that you've had a moment to sort of think a little bit about those questions?
Well, unfortunately, my mind rambled on forward.
Very good. Okay, so did you say all you wanted to say about your concept of the global economy?
I think so. At this point, I think the most compelling aspect of the global economy is the need to sort of sit down and really rethink the priorities in our lives. In the book, I spend a great deal of time talking about the need for creating a personal vision for what you want your life to be about. And at this particular point in history, there's just an awful lot in our everyday lives that wants us to focus on the financial aspect of our lives, and as if that financial aspect was the be-all, end-all of our lives. And there's no doubt that the financial aspect has a lot to do with at least the creature comforts of life, but it has very little to do with the comfort of yourself and your soul. And this is a time, the opportunity, I think, of the global economy is a time to step back and ask yourself seriously, what do I want my life to be about? And to begin the process of discovering that there is not just the planet that we live on, but there's a rich inner world that each of us possesses, that it may be time that we start to explore.
Okay, so is that going to satisfy the new possibility piece?
Well, in part, it's going to satisfy the new possibility, because when you adjust the priorities in your life, you begin to think in terms of, instead of trying to pick maybe a position or a profession to make the most money, you start to think in terms of picking a profession or position to produce the greatest amount of satisfaction. Mm-hmm. And the work that you do on a day in and day out basis, you don't want it to be someone else's work. You want it to be your work. And to people who are employed, that may sound impossible, but I would hold that it's actually not impossible, that if you understand what is your work, what is it that actually makes your heart sing in terms of the kinds of things that you enjoy doing on a day in and day out basis, you can find those things in an employment situation, but you can't just settle for a paycheck.
Okay, now I want to revisit quickly your potato and turnip farmer analogy, as I just love it so much, and we can use that as a springboard for the rest
sure.
of our chat.
And you want me to revisit that?
Of course I do. Well, it sounds
okay.
better coming from you.
Well, we had to work long and hard on that little analogy. I tell you why, because I kept picking the wrong vegetables. But as it turned out, the potato was a vegetable that actually was introduced into the European culture post Columbus. It was not a vegetable that actually grew in the European agricultural system prior to the actual addition of the North and South American continents. And at the time, the predominant vegetable, the one that sort of took the place of what we would call, the mainstay potato these days as a starch, was a turnip. And people, farmers in particular, were heavily invested in turnips, and they spent a great deal of time cultivating that particular vegetable. And when the potatoes started to show up on the European shelves in terms of the vegetable markets and so on, as they were beginning to be imported from the continent across the Atlantic, the farmers didn't pay too much attention to it because it was considered to be a sort of a low-end type vegetable, a vegetable that had been fed to prisoners in prison and used as a food for low-end type workers in the plantations in the colonies. And so they didn't pay too much attention to it. But in many ways, your show lends itself to this conversation because at some point, the King of France determined that there were considerable health benefits to consumption of the potato, and made a point of making the potato a very, very prominent feature of his own diet and encouraged people in the population of France to begin to include that as well. And the outcome of that was that it fundamentally bankrupted the farmers that were heavily invested in the turnip, because the turn came so fast that they had not made appropriate adjustments, and the consequences of that were devastating. And in many ways, that analogy holds today for us, in that there are signs around us all the time that are suggesting that that time is up for certain occupations in terms of the viability of the wage rates and so on that people are getting paid, and people aren't paying attention. They're waiting to be laid off rather than looking forward and leaving those professions and finding professions that are more solid ground.
That sounds like the way to go, and I'm hoping that people are picking up on that, and as they read the book, I'm certain it will come home to them.
In the book I really stress the issue of taking the initiative in terms of your own future. I know that maybe sounds trivial, and people saying, well, that's what I have been doing, but I would say to a large degree, no, you haven't been doing that. What you've been doing is settling for what was offered to you. It's very much akin to, and this is an example I use a lot in the workshops that I do. You go to a restaurant, you look at the menu, and the menu is meant to be attractive, but it's also meant to serve the interest of the restaurant, because having a menu allows them to plan their food portioning and their food buying. If they just didn't have a menu and said, what would you like, they would have no way of planning ahead. And yet, many times you go to a restaurant and you don't find anything on the menu that you like. Well, there are many, many people who order something that they don't really care for, rather than say, well, you know, maybe I should go to a different restaurant.
Exactly. Yes, I think people are afraid of making choices or turning down the menu and taking that risk.
Well, and I think my mother's a classic example of that, in the sense of her standard phrase in that situation is, oh, I don't want to be a bother.
Right.
And I say, well, mother, when you wake up in the morning and get out of bed, you begin to bother.
Yeah.
Whether you realize it or not, the very fact that you're here begins to bother, and the fact that you put so much attention on not being a bother is sort of acting like you're invisible. And people go to work and actually try their very, very best to be invisible rather than to show up and be an active participant in what's going on.
You know, you share in your book so many wonderful quotes. I'm picking a different one this time.
Okay.
From Maslow. He says, the only happy people are ones working well at something they consider important. And I thought, thinking this time about balancing work and living, how do you suggest people work well at something they consider important, or make that transition to something important when in survival mode?
Yeah.
I know. Most people think it's a scheduling issue, but...
No. Well, you mean when you're in a moment of absolute panic.
Yes.
What do you do? Well, I find this to be the case a lot, and I talk to employees in situations where maybe their organization has suffered a recent layoff or setback of some kind, and people will always talk about the people that were let go, and I would say, geez, I wish you would stop that, because you don't really care about the people that are let go.
No, they just don't want to be one of them.
Right, exactly. That's what I tell them. I said you're really concerned about you, and you're afraid to admit that you're considering that the same thing could happen to you. I really, really feel very strongly about the next thing I'm going to say, and that is that you need to be prepared to walk out of your workplace at any day on your own, as a matter of your own choice, and not have it affect your family, which has dramatic implications for how you plan your finances. If you live on sort of on the edge of bankruptcy, which a lot of people do, literally live on the edge of bankruptcy with the idea that there'll be a job there tomorrow, You're just basically exposing yourself unnecessarily to risk. Never mind the global economy. You're just doing that anyway. But at the same time, if you are careful, if you are recognizing that the time that you put into employment is your most precious resource, because I've thought long and hard about this, and I cannot come up with anything that I truly own except the time of my life. And anything else is just something that's totally temporary and can be taken away from me at any point in time. But the time of my life is my own, and it is a precious commodity, and it's a limited commodity because none of us know how long we're going to be here. I say that it's just terribly, terribly important to make sure that you always have the opportunity to make the choices that you want to make. And instead of waiting until you get into survival mode, make sure that it's highly unlikely that you'll get into survival mode. And yes, that means putting off buying the new car, or I'm listening to some of the ads that are playing at the beginning of the show.
I'm not responsible for any of those ads.
Yeah, I know. people are talking about taking a second mortgage to buy a boat, and it's like, let's talk about craziness.
Yeah.
Let's talk about rampant insanity. We live that way as though if we have that, we will be happy. And I say no. What will make you happy is peace of mind, and peace of mind comes from knowing that you have more or less gained full set of choices in your own life.
Well, now, I guess then somehow we can jump to the self-limiting mindset, how we get out of that, because I think that has a lot to do with why people don't pick or choose to work in what is important to them or what they enjoy. I don't think they think there's the potential for survival there.
Yeah, and here's ultimately what I think is first of all, life is not easy. The fact that that we're born and that we live in the culture that we live in still doesn't make it easy. You still have to fend for yourself, and you still have to make good solid choices. But the truth of the matter is to live a life that is truly satisfying is hard work, and it's a full-time job. It's easier not to. It's easier to settle for a paycheck. It's easier to max out your credit cards. It's easier to hope that you don't get laid off. It's easier to live for the moment rather than for the future. And all of those things are the things that set us up for the survival mode that you're talking about. So we actually paint ourselves into that corner by the choices that we make right up until that moment. I'm somebody who has had his business get bankrupted by an unforeseen economic consequence. The 9/11 type of catastrophe actually had a very devastating effect on my business. But we were not positioned so that it actually devastated us personally. We had made provisions so that we would be able to withstand that. We never wanted it to happen, but we were ready for it if and when it did.
Okay, well, now you talk about getting out of the self-limiting mindset.
Mm-hmm.
You want to sort of give your three steps or the three components you feel are important in being able to do that, or in helping you to do that?
Well, if you're looking at the book.
No, I'm not.
Good. And, okay,
but I can tell you what I'm thinking about here, or what I'm referring to.
What I'm thinking is
maybe
three
different
steps. What three steps did I recommend?
Well, you talked about understanding the big economic picture being the first piece.
Yes, you do have to. I talked about that earlier, you need to be conscious of the larger economic picture and stop taking it personally. It's not personal. The evolution of the economy on this planet is maybe uncomfortable for you, but it is benefiting a lot of people on the planet. They're just not people that you see every day.
Okay. You are listening to Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with me, psychologist Parthenia Izard. The program is sponsored by Alternative Medicine Therapies in Bala Cynwyd, Pennsylvania. Visit my website, www.amtherapies.com. You can hear us live on the internet from a link on my site. I want to also remind you of our anniversary program, which will be May 5th, and we'll be featuring an interview with Sidney Poitier, and Words of Wisdom Focus, and Words of Wisdom from some of our past guests, and my Words of Wisdom, which I know you're just dying to hear. And we'll be back with Mike Cook, author of Thrive, Standing on Your Own Two Feet in a Borderless World, with an holistic approach to the workplace. Call in at 866-909-9855 with your questions. Don't passively exist with backaches, allergies, PMS, colds, flu, and other ailments. Listen to me, Parthenia Izard, at my new time, Saturday mornings at 9 for Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom. I am a local natural health care practitioner and psychologist. I will show you alternative paths toward health with an holistic approach. Don't miss Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with me, Parthenia Izard, at my new time, Saturday mornings at 9, only on AM 860 WWDB.
Why should you passively exist with backaches, allergies, PMS, colds, flu, and other ailments? It's time to take charge of your life with preventive measures. Contact Alternative Medicine Therapies at 610-660-7710 for an initial consultation. Alternative Medicine Therapies offers a holistic approach to preventive care, unlike conventional medicine that tries to correct the illness that exists instead of preventing it altogether. Don't let anyone tell you that your situation is hopeless. Alternative Medicine Therapies like iridology, kinesiology, reflexology, energy medicine, which includes Qi Light therapy, acupressure, and psychological consultations, has an amazing track record of positive results. Why suffer when Alternative Medicine Therapies with psychologist Parthenia Izard is here to help? Contact Alternative Medicine Therapies today for an initial consultation at 610-660-7710 and visit their website at www.amtherapies.com. And don't miss Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom, psychologist Parthenia Izard's radio program each Saturday morning at 9 on AM 860 WWDB.
You are listening to Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with me, psychologist Parthenia Izard. I am now offering online psychosocial coaching. Our guest next week, April 21, 2007, will be Ann Fletcher, author of Weight Loss Confidential, Teens. It's about weight loss with teens and what they wish their parents knew. When at Nemacolin Spa, if you want a fabulous deep tissue massage, they have something called the Kila Body Works Massage. Ask for David. My husband said it was excellent. I mean, there's, like I said before, too much at the resort to talk about in one show. So I'll continue sharing bits and pieces from time to time. Now we're talking with our friend Mike Cook, author of Thrive, about his book, and Holistically Balancing Work and Life. You can call in at 866-909-9855 with any questions. Mike, the two other points that you made about self-limiting mindsets, getting out of them, had to do with ridding ourselves of the belief of an implied contract between workers and employees. I don't know who told you you weren't supposed to memorize your book and be able to just, you know, click into whatever somebody asks.
No, I'm saying I didn't memorize my book.
And then the third piece was the implied connection between economic security and democracy.
Oh, yeah.
So those were the things that I was referring to earlier.
Yeah, no, and those are, you should have written the book.
Well, you know, in a lot of ways, I feel like I could have helped because I feel, you know, I feel such a connection to it. And you helped that to happen so easily with the way you've written it. Before we get too far, because I know that last part of the program just hops up on me so quickly, there are two segments of the world or the society that I have a question about. One are those who are less fortunate than most of us and have psychological challenges, bipolar patients, those who are depressed, dependent on the availability of social services and the cushion that it provides. The cushion they provide between enduring psychotic episodes, that type of thing. They function well and they try to find their niche, and most of the time they're okay and they're functioning and doing very well, but they often require that cushion. How does the future look for them? How do they make themselves function to their best within this new economy?
Well, yeah, with the degree of uncertainty that people are going to be faced with, I think this is going to be increasingly a challenge. I think I need to step back to sort of a larger view of things that I hold, and I do stress this point in the book, is that none of us really makes it alone in this world. We may live with the illusion that we make it alone because we live in separate houses, or we have separate checking accounts or whatever it is that constitutes our separateness. But without the benefit of the cooperation and collaboration of people around us, none of us really attain the kind of success that we realize. And to me, that infers a certain responsibility on me to take care of my fellow man. And to that extent, I think it's really incumbent on us to make sure that the people that you're describing have access to adequate services. That I know that becomes a political issue very, very quickly. But I'm talking about it, never mind a political issue. I'm talking about it from a very just practical standpoint. We've, for whatever reason, and we may say, well, I didn't choose the capitalist system. Well, the longer that you participated in it, the more you choose it. And, you know, unless you go and, you know, live on a hill and grow your own groceries and make your own cloth, you're living as part of a capitalist system. The thing about what I'm kind of getting to there is that it's the system that allows for the success. It's not the individual. The relationship between the system and the success. And that system has flaws. This capitalist system has flaws in the sense that there are going to be, because it's a capitalist system, because it's about competition, there are going to be failures. And there are going to be people that are somewhat less prepared for the competitive situation than others. My belief, and this is, you know, it's a strongly held belief, is that if we're going to continue to pursue this system, that we need to make provision for people who are less able and make sure that they have access to the kinds of counseling services that you're talking about, that we have ways of maintaining those people's confidence. Because I think probably the fundamental issue there is that the person who's in that position knows that they're at a disadvantage, and they're at the bottom of the hill pushing the rock up to begin with, and then if people around them just simply abandon them, then that makes it even doubly worse, and I think is a precondition for despair.
Well, I agree. The other item I want to touch on that we didn't really touch on much last time has to do with the belief or the concept of Dharma or seeking one's highest nature and its necessity for success in our borderless world. How can you do that? A lot of people don't even think you can be or allow your highest nature to thrive and be competitive or successful in any kind of business.
Yeah, I don't think it's an either-or choice. I think we can point to examples where people have made it an either-or choice. I think we can all point to examples where people have what I would call sold out, meaning compromised their integrity or compromised their values in favor of, and in some form, you know, told themselves that it's okay to do that, or I had to do it, like I didn't have any choice. I think that again is easier than making the hard choices of both living out of the values that you have created for yourself and also at the same time pursuing the most success that you can. You know, I think the issue starts with the simple fact that you know, Dharma applies, and of course it is a Buddhist term, but Dharma applies when you have actually taken the time to actually cause yourself to have some sort of purpose for being here. You know, I think I would venture to say that 80%, maybe perhaps more, of any of our population has never sat down and decided for themselves what they want their lives to be about. They might think in terms of what they want to have or right. what they want to do. But they haven't thought about what they want their life to be about, and consequently, then your life is kind of about whatever happens, and you find yourself living in a very reactive mode. And I think in many cases, those people that become the prominent examples for us are simply that. You know, you look at the people that, were involved in something as prominent as the Enron type of scandal. Those people were faced with choices. They made poor choices. And at some point, they began to tell themselves stories, and this is the self-limiting belief part of this. They began to tell themselves stories that justified what it was that they were doing. And even though all of us would know full well, and those people even would admit if they were outside observers, that those stories were nonsense, they pursued those stories rather than having made the tough choices that were there to be made at the time that they took the actions that they took.
Okay, we have a caller, Lewis in New York. Hello, Lewis. Hello.
Hello.
Okay, we're coming up on a break, so you want to quickly let us know what your question is, and we'll get as much of it as we can in right before the break.
yes.
Mike?
Mr. Cook telling us that those of us who have already
retired.
We've already made our Dharma, and we made it in an economy which we thought was limited to the United States, to the border of the United States. And now,
well, I think that's a wonderful question, because even in the state of retirement right now, your future is affected by the development of the global economy. Because there's a direct impact on, in many cases, I would imagine that some portion of your retirement is dependent on the Social Security system. Am I correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and the ability of that system to continue to provide for any kind of lifestyle that you would find acceptable is going to be highly dependent on whether or not this economy can sustain itself and then begin to continue to create the benefits that go into the Social Security system. So I don't think you're out of the soup either.
No. what can we do?
Well, I think it's a matter of, again, staying as an active participant in your life. And I appreciate the fact that, you know, you put in years doing whatever it was that it was that you did, and you undoubtedly worked long and hard. Unfortunately, one of the self-limiting beliefs that occurs with people is that we actually deserve something as a result of that. And that, I would say, is in itself a limiting conclusion.
Okay.
We'll pick this up after the break.
Yeah, we'll pick it up when we get back. You're listening to Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with me, psychologist Parthenia Izzard. The program is sponsored by Alternative Medicine Therapies. You can go to my website at www.amtherapies.com. We will be back soon with Mike Cook, author of 5, Standing on Your Own 2 Feet in a Borderless World, An Holistic Approach to the Workplace, Balancing Work and Living.
Why should you passively exist with backaches, allergies, PMS, colds, flu, and other ailments? It's time to take charge of your life with preventive measures. Contact Alternative Medicine Therapies at 610-660-7710 for an initial consultation. Alternative Medicine Therapies offers a holistic approach to preventive care, unlike conventional medicine that tries to correct the illness that exists instead of preventing it altogether. Don't let anyone tell you that your situation is hopeless. Alternative Medicine Therapies like iridology, kinesiology, reflexology, energy medicine, which includes Qi Light therapy, acupressure, and psychological consultations, has an amazing track record of positive results. Why suffer when Alternative Medicine Therapies with psychologist Parthenia Izzard is here to help? Contact Alternative Medicine Therapies today for an initial consultation at 610-660-7710 and visit their website at www.amtherapies.com. And don't miss Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom, psychologist Parthenia Izzard's radio program each Saturday morning at 9 on AM 860 WWDB.
Don't passively exist with backaches, allergies, PMS, colds, flu, and other ailments. Listen to me, Parthenia Izard, at my new time, Saturday mornings at 9 for wellness, wholeness, and wisdom. I am a local natural health care practitioner and psychologist. I will show you alternative paths toward health with a holistic approach. Don't miss Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with me, Parthenia Izard, at my new time, Saturday mornings at 9, only on AM 860 WWDB. You're listening to Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with me, psychologist Parthenia Izard. I am now offering online psychosocial coaching, and remember, you can listen to the show on the internet. Just go to my site for the link. We're talking with Mike Hook, author of Thrive. I always want to say strive. I don't know why. Thrive, Standing on Your Own Two Feet in a Borderless World, an Holistic Approach to the Workplace. You want to finish up what you were saying in terms of retirees?
Well, I think one of the things that I think is really facing, and this is such a wonderful question, I'm so glad that it came up, is the again, people that are in that situation, living in a sort of a fixed income situation, are again in some ways not quite prepared for the world that we're faced with now. And in many cases, this goes back to what I said about nobody makes it alone. And in, you know, historical cultures, and in still many cultures around the world, the idea that parents move away from their children, or children move away from their parents, and then parents are off on their own and they take care of themselves, is something that's foreign to them. That parents and children are part of the extended family for as long as the parents are alive. And I find more and more friends of mine, and I'm 60 now, and many of us have parents in our 80s because people are living longer. I think more and more of us are finding that we need to stay active with our parents in terms of participating with them in their financial lives. Many of them begin to suffer sort of debilitating types of health issues. And it's very funny because for a lot of people it's very like, wow, I wasn't counting on this. You know, okay. I wasn't counting on having to take care of my parents.
Okay, well, we're running out of time. Thank you, Louis Lee. Who is that? Yes, Louis, for your call from New York. Mike, you want to give us a quick wrap-up, words of wisdom for the workplace?
Well, I think mainly, first, I would encourage people to read the book because, obviously, you've been sufficiently provoked to think of many, many things that have actually led us to have two very, very, I think, productive conversations. And we could obviously go on and on. I think that it's important that people stimulate their own minds to have those conversations with themselves and with the people that are important to them in their lives. And I think the book itself is a great help for actually stimulating those conversations. I don't think it's so much that we have the answers in the book, although I think take some solid steps towards a pathway or an approach. But I think the more important thing is to be able to ask the questions, to surface the issues, to face the reality of the current situation, and not act like it's not happening.
Very good. Okay, thank you again, Mike, and you have a good morning.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now for our herb of the day. Today's herb is dandelion, the part used medicinally are the flowers, leaves, roots, and tops. Some of the phytochemicals are beta-carotene and beta-cystosterol. Some of the nutrients are calcium, iron, magnesium. It acts as a diuretic, according to Balk and Balk, and cleanses the blood and liver and increases bile production. And now we're going to quickly go to our yoga asana, which is Urdhva Prasarita Padasana. And again, these are Iyengar postures that I'm talking about, or the ways of practicing are from Iyengar. You're going to lie in a straight line, arms beside the trunk. This is where you're raising the legs 30 degrees, 60 degrees, and 90 degrees to develop strong abdominal muscles. And you exhale and raise the legs 30 degrees, and you exhale and raise the legs 60 degrees, and you exhale and raise the legs 90 degrees. Of course, I'm going through it a little bit quicker than usual, but at the end, you will, with an exhalation, lower the legs slowly to the ground without jerking them, bring the arms down, let the feet drop to the sides, and relax. Okay. Now he tells me I have plenty of time. You know, first he tells me, wrap it up, wrap it up. Then he says, we have plenty of time. In any event, I think you have the idea of the yoga posture. And you do it in a very gentle, relaxed way. And as you do it and practice it, you become stronger and stronger. And it becomes less and less jerky and more smooth and a lot more and more relaxing. Okay. You're listening to Wellness, Wholeness, and Wisdom with me, psychologist Parthenia Izard. And since I have a little extra time, I do want to remind you of our anniversary program, May 5th, which is, of course, that first Saturday in May. And the reason it's in May is because we wanted to, we had already booked several of our April interviews, but we wanted to, have it in enough time for people to be prepared to listen in. What we're going to do is feature an interview with Sidney Poitier, and then we're going to highlight some interviews from some past guests, and then I'm going to share some of my words of wisdom as well. So it'll be a words of wisdom focused program. Next week, next Saturday, our guest will be Ann Fletcher, author of Weight Loss Confidential. She'll be talking about weight loss, but from the teen's perspective and what they wish their parents knew about the problem. And at the show's end, we'll discuss the herb Devil's Claw and the asana Jarathra Parivartanasana. Listen to the program live on your computer by clicking the Seventh Wave Network link on my site. They rebroadcast the program each Saturday, 12 hours later, which would be 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Today's show will also be rebroadcast Wednesday at 7 p.m. and Thursday at 6 p.m., with rebroadcasts on each one of those days, 12 hours later. And they also archive the shows. Interested in interning on the program, email your resume and or recordings to consult@amtherapies.com or to my office at Tubala Plaza, Suite 300, Bala Cynwyd, Pennsylvania, 19004. Alternative Medicine Therapies offers the public iridology and kinesiology assessments, consultations in nutrition, meditation, acupressure, psychosocial consultations, not tonsillations, incorporating Bach Floralessens remedies, and remote and video conferencing. I'll let you know that those AltMed trivia questions will be presented before and after the breaks. Figure I'd give you a little heads up on that so you'll know when the best time would be to listen. And the answer to that trivia question earlier was bone set. Those consultations incorporate Bach Floralessens remedies, as I said, and the online coaching is done through emails. Visit my website at www.amtherapies.com. I welcome your participation in my blog, subscription to the newsletter, downloading radio programs, seeing who future guests will be, and what my practice offers. Oh, when you get to Nemacolon, do try the Dream Catcher Massage. You won't be disappointed. Oh, and say Parthenia sent you. Wellness, wholeness, and wisdom. Be well.
Taking you to the